sorry, that, yeah, that his wife Elizabeth would have a child and he would call him John. And let's listen, let's read what Zechariah says in verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure that this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." So Zechariah's questioned, how can this happen? How can this be? And you might think, well, like Mary, it's a reasonable question to ask. But if you dig a bit deeper, you can actually understand that Zechariah was expressing his unbelief in this news that his wife would have a child. And there's a few things we can look at to show this. So, firstly, he was a man of God that had served God for many years. He was a priest. He would have known the Old Testament very well. He would have known that there's several occasions from Abraham onwards where God promised children to women who were old, or if you read the King James, which I grew up reading, well stricken in years. But despite their age, God provided, blessed these women with children. And barren women were often the women that God chose to bless with children, to carry on the line that he promised from Abraham through to David, through to Jesus. That line continued miraculously, supernaturally, by the grace of God. And so Zechariah would have known that. And he also, it says the angel heard his prayer. So that's another indication that Elizabeth and Zechariah had desired children. They haven't had any children up until this point. Everyone knew that they were barren, but they desired children. They'd asked God for children. And yet, when the angel said, "You're going to have a child," he said, How can I be sure this will happen? So Zechariah doubted the word. He didn't believe it. And he was mute, effectively, for a period of time up until the birth of John. So this is really showing a principle that God or Jesus talked about, and that is, to whom much is given, much is expected. So if you know the truth, if you know how God works, if you know the testimony or the stories or the examples or the acts of God, then you should know, then you're expected to believe, because God has proved himself. And that's why there was judgment placed on him. But in God's mercy, he did still have that. They did still have that child, him and Elizabeth. So even though he didn't believe at first, God was still merciful to give them that child. But now let's look at Mary's response to her question. Oh, sorry, Mary's response to the angel's reply. So let's go to the next slide. So Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. So let's just look at Mary. Okay, she's a young woman, about, scholars believe, 14, 15 years of age. you know, not even an adult yet. And her life was about to be completely changed forever, like totally, completely turned upside down by this news. And, you know, most of us don't like change. We don't like, certainly we don't like change, which is thrust upon us in a moment that we haven't had time to prepare for. Yet, and usually this results in quite a bit of anxiety when we have this sort of thing happen. But Mary had the most incredible change put on her, she was blessed with the most incredible news that you could ever imagine. Not only that she was going to have a baby as a virgin, but she would give birth to the Son of God, God coming to earth as a man, and the King of Kings that would reign forever. So imagine being in her position. You're a teenager, you're just going about your normal life in Nazareth, and then suddenly you have this news. Like, it would be, I don't know, it'd be incredible. Words can't describe. It wouldn't be out of place, therefore, to have received this news, to have doubts or fears or, you know, be burdened by this news. But this is not what we read in Scripture. Her response, "I am the Lord's servant, may everything you've said about me come true," indicates that her heart was prepared to humbly accept this call of God on her life. A maturity well beyond her years to be able to receive such news, such a change, such an incredible shift or change in direction of her life. And it's worth noting that this news would have had negative impacts on Mary. It wouldn't have made her life easier, far from it. For example, she would have faced rejection and shame from people who thought she might have been unfaithful to Joseph in that period of time when she was betrothed to him. And, you know, there would have been a lot of, you know, possible, you know, we know that she went to Egypt and had to flee Herod for a couple of years, and that, you know, all these changes to her life. And, you know, you would have thought, well, maybe she'd have doubts or fears, but her heart was to accept the will of God, and that was whatever it looked like, wherever it took her, she was saying yes to God. So there's two stories here we've looked at. They each have similarities. They're two different responses. Zechariah, unbelief in the promise of a child, and Mary, who trusted to be the mother of the Son of God. So what does Zechariah teach us? I just want to look at him one more time. So while he's described as righteous, a faithful servant of the Lord in his priestly duties, he was doing all the right things, but potentially at the expense of knowing God and knowing his power. And this is just a warning or reminder for us as believers that we should not be so focused on doing things for God that we neglect to really get to know him and understand him. And that's just a reminder that, you know, when we get to know God, our hearts are ready to receive his instruction and obey his commands, whatever that looks like. For Mary, as I mentioned, she was humble, so she was childlike in her response, and God desires that in us as his children, to have a humility, a dependence on him, and a willingness and a desire to follow his instructions and obey his commands. And we can learn from her example that trusting God's grace and believing that all things are possible with him. and not limiting him or his power or what he can do. Let's go to the next slide. Peace from God through surrender. So if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he asks us to be ready to surrender everything. You know, he says, if any man comes after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. I love the song from Robin Mark, Jesus, all for Jesus. All of my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender these into your hands. Recently, I was made redundant from my job about 6 weeks ago. And it was unexpected, I guess. Yeah, it was unexpected. So it came as a bit of a shock. And it took a couple of days for me to, a day or two to really accept that news. I didn't receive it straight away and go, oh, great, excellent. That's what I wanted. I was there for 18 months in this job and I was, pretty happy there. I was enjoying it, it was a good, secure job. But once I had accepted this news, immediately afterwards, God's peace came upon me. God's peace came into my heart and I knew that God had a plan for my life and that he was in control. That whatever was coming next was going to be good and I could trust him that he would take care of me and my family. So once I'd accepted the news, it really changed my whole attitude, my whole outlook about, the next, it was probably 3 weeks or so that I was still in the business, interacting with other people, the managers, owners, etc. of the business. And it was nice to get some feedback from the business owner that they appreciated how I handled the situation and that they noticed that I was accepting of that news, took it well, and I was really thankful and blessed to have the opportunity to share the reason for the hope that is in me and to point to Christians actually working in the business, who have previously worked in the business, point to their testimony as well, and to point out the reason that I have peace about the future is because of my faith in Jesus Christ. And so, what could have been a gloomy situation turned out to be a time actually where, I remember walking down the street one of the days after the news and I just had this amazing time with God and it was really, really blessed me. So there is a peace that passes all understanding that comes from God. It's a fruit of the Spirit and it is the outworking of trusting Him. Let's go to the next slide. How are we doing for time? 20 minutes. I'll quickly just go through this one. So Mary said in her statement, I am the Lord's servant. And I think that really speaks to the submission she had to God, the humility she had towards the Lord's word and her and the news. And, I think we can really learn from that identity as a servant. It's not a word we really use much in our Western society. Like servants have been around a long time, but we don't, like my sister used to have, I guess what you'd call a servant when she lived in South Africa, and when I went over there and visited her, and it was all a bit strange, to be honest, because we're not used to it in our Western society, in our culture. But a servant is someone who is under someone else and that they serve, and Jesus modeled this. Jesus was the ultimate servant. He humbled himself and He served us by dying on the cross, by going all the way and giving up his life, surrendering his life. So it's good to check our hearts periodically and ask God, or ask ourselves, do we love to serve? And are we serving out of love? Because you want to get the love first and then the service will come, not the other way around. Okay, love God and you'll keep his commandments, not keep his commandments and then optionally, if you want to, love him. No, love God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength, and the service will flow out of that. Let's go to the next slide. Preparing your heart. So I like gardening and I've always come up with gardening analogies, so you have to excuse my me going back to this. I think I did this last time I spoke. But let's look at our hearts as like a bit of like a garden, like a soil. And in Hosea 10 verse 11, there's this beautiful picture of God speaking to a nation. But he's using this analogy of soil and the heart. Let's read it. I will force Judah to pull the plow and Israel to break up the hard ground. I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. So we have this picture of hard and infertile soil, and also the opposite being loose and fertile soil that can receive seeds. And I don't know about you, but I've got plenty of hard and compacted soil at home on my lawn, and really it's just a breeding ground for weeds. And I guess this is sort of symbolic of a hardened heart. A hardened heart, you know, you put seed on it and it doesn't grow. It just, good things, it produces things you don't want, like weeds. And some of those weeds are really hard to get out as well. I don't know if you've experienced that, but they are very difficult to remove in the hardened soil. But a well-cultivated, nutritious, loosened soil is soil that can take seed. And I recently pulled out a stump out of one of my garden beds, and it took a lot of diligence, a lot of effort, a lot of work to get it out. But the satisfaction I got when it was out was really, really nice. I feel like that sometimes with our hearts, we can have things in there that aren't great, aren't good, but we just need to be diligent in coming to God with them, you know, diligent seeking him, diligent in, you know, getting that plow in and digging out that thing in our hearts that's really holding us back, that's preventing us from coming to God, preventing fruit from prospering, from fruit from growing up and us being fruitful in the Lord. So I encourage you, if you have, like, you know, if there's something God's revealed to you, whether it's pride, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's unbelief or wrong thinking in some area, go to God with it. Be diligent to go to him. You know, don't expect that it'll straight away, that hardness will leave, but us just continually come to God, and in his goodness and his mercy, it says here that there will be seeds of righteousness and a harvest of a crop of love. And God is faithful. Like, if you come to him, seek him diligently, he will reward you. So I guess just really to sum up, if you don't know Jesus, then he's inviting you to open up your heart to him, to take up residence in your heart, So if you like, if you can think about your heart as your home, invite Jesus into your home. He's knocking on the door of your home. He wants to come in. He wants to be the ruler of your home, and he wants to be honored and revered and treasured in your home. And when I mean home, I mean your heart. So it's the same if you know Jesus, if you're a believer in him. He wants to be the king of your heart. He wants to have the rule of your heart, and to be the one that's revered and honored and treasured above all things, above all. I think I'm just going to finish on a verse, Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus to the earth, that we have these examples in Scripture of faithful men and women, women like Mary, who received the good news that given to her, that humbly accepted your word, God. No matter what it meant for her life, she was willing and ready in her heart to follow your will and do your will and accept the plan for her life. So, Father, I pray that we would also be humble, that we would have hearts that desire to please you, to honor you, and to put you first in everything. No matter where it takes us or what it leads us to, Lord God, I pray we would just be willing, and that we would trust you with all of our heart, Lord God, that you would break up any fallow ground in our heart, Lord, as we come to you in prayer, that you would be continually working in our hearts to bring a newness of life, to bring fruit that ultimately blesses not only us but everyone around us, and ultimately, God, gives you glory, because you deserve all the glory, God, for you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.